And good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band, the frequency modulated band, and stream live all over the world from Singapore to Stockholm. And all of the aircraft in between, all of the stations in between, all of Captain Joe's people at either end of the world and every place in between. So this is the exactly one year ago, Mary Redmond Wubold crossed her bar. And I am going to recognize that for a few minutes because I am going to make this broadcast one of thanksgiving, one of gratitude for so many things, and one of a commitment to everlastingly carrying on from up in the captain's chair on station and watching properly. During the last day, I have heard from both Singapore. I've talked to our son, Sean, who is locked in Singapore. The island has shut itself down because of concern that if they don't do that, because the population density is so thick, if they don't do that, then the virus will pick up and start spreading again. And so he's not even going to be able to leave his flat for probably another 2 weeks. On the other hand, and so he and I talked on the telephone through a program called WhatsApp, which allows us to talk through a stateside telephone number. And the magic of this, I cannot possibly describe. But should anybody want to figure out how to talk to places far away using a system that allows you to talk through a stateside phone number, it's called WhatsApp, WHATSAPP. And so we were able to talk for almost an hour, and we talked about his mother, Mary R., and we talked about not being able to leave. And I told him then, and I say it here, and I say it here for all of my family, that the decisions that Mary R. and I made so many years ago, those decisions were what put together the family that I now lead. And that family has been so kind and so gracious and so strong and so supportive in this last year. They are all the people, the children, the grandchildren, the friends who have acquired family rank, so many of them, so many people who have been everything that this black-hearted old sea captain could possibly want. And that so many people wish that they had in their lives, and some do not. And so for all of you out there, Captain Joe's people, family, friends, classmates, shipmates, all of Captain Joe's people who have not only held out your hands and your hearts, but have also held out your pasta and your other meals and your company and your comforting. All of these things have worked together so that I would be up in the captain's chair and on station and watching properly, which all of you are entitled to expect and require of me. So then I heard from Stockholm in the other side of the world, and unlike Singapore, Stockholm is only now, my dear good doctor and professor is only now getting his first COVID vaccination. And he sent me photographs of the, and there is somebody who is calling on the Andy phone, and the Andy phone is going to have to pick up the message. So Stockholm is only now beginning to get vaccinated. I'm a little bit surprised at that. But in any case, at least now the good doctor and professor has gotten by now his first shot. And the photographs that he sent to me were of beautiful and sunshiny Stockholm as it was this morning. And now, of course, it's in the evening there. So just so all of you who listen to this broadcast are skeptical that it really do have listeners in all of those places, let me assure you that it is indeed true, and that on this do you all have my hand. In this last year, there it seemed like right after Mary Art's funeral that more people in the family had tragedies with which we had to deal. Nephews died. A mother of a much loved friend died. All of these, and I'm not even going to run through the list. It remains then only to say that we were all strong. We all grieved together as each one of these events took place. And we dealt with it, and we dealt with whatever had to be dealt with in connection with that. And we came out of it, all of us came out of it, enormously grateful for the support that came from this wonderful family, which I extend to include so many people who are not related to me by blood or marriage, but are related to me by compassion, love, affection, and respect. So this is a day of thanks. The sun is shining here. After my broadcast, I'm going to go out to visit with Mary R., and there will be some friends from the island who are family, and we're going to sit in the grass and tell a couple of stories for a few minutes. And I am going to once again express my gratitude for all of them and all of you. All of Captain Joe's people who have been the ones who said, I cannot let them down. I cannot let them down. And although I have let myself down a couple of times, for the most part, that intent, that mission has been fulfilled. So the last thing that I have to say about this is, well, maybe not exactly the last thing that I'll ever say about it, but the last thing that I have to say about it today, because I'm going to bring in some of my regular features. But the last thing that I have to say about it is this. I know that there are people out there, because you send me signals that tell me this, who have faced similar situations in your own lives and did not know exactly how to express that. And so by coming alongside me, I hope that the way that I've been able to express all of this has been helpful to you. It is so far better that we had these people in our lives and the decisions that we took with those people that changed the lives of so many other people, and in almost every case changed them for the better. So far better to have loved and then lost than not to have loved at all. And that's what I have to say about all of that. Going back to the binnacle list, as is my custom, there are a couple of people who have been able to leave the binnacle list and go back to full duty, and for that I am enormously grateful. And it is, as always, my wish and my command that all hands who are on the binnacle list now do what they're supposed to do to return to full duty. Birthdays. I'm always happy to recognize birthday, and in particular, my granddaughter, Hannah Jean, out in Spokane, who has a birthday. And last year, of course, I did not recognize it because it was the same day that Mary R. crossed the bar. Any of you who wonder the expression crossing the bar, it's what sailors say. And it goes back centuries, although Alfred, my Lord Tennyson, wrote the poem about crossing the bar. The idea goes back centuries, and it all you have to do is go to the bar at the entrance of the Columbia River and realize how rough it can be outside the bar. And when you cross the bar, you come into a pool of kindness and gentleness and calm water. And so for centuries, sailors have referred to it that way, and I do it frequently. So we did not, and I did not, recognize Hannah Jean's birthday last year because it was also the day that Mary R., her grandmother, crossed the bar. So I do today. Happy birthday, Hannah Jean. And I also recognize the birthday soon to come up of one of my XOs. XO, Executive Officer, Second in Command. One of these broadcasts, I'll talk a little bit about the relationship between captains and their XOs, because it's a very special one. It's not duplicated anyplace else in the world. And this particular XO was XO for me in one of my ships. And then when I left that ship, I was not able to keep him as my XO, and I moved on to another one. And that particular XO lost his wife just in the last few months. And I've talked about that on this program. So, enough sadness to go around and then some. And yet we always, always carry on, and we carry on from the captain's chair on station and watching properly. So, the anniversary that we recognize in this week coming up is the 6th of June. And I recognize this every year. It is the date of the D-Day invasion. It is the date in which General Eisenhower, who was the Supreme Allied Commander, and his appointment as the Supreme Allied Commander was one that was fraught with difficulty to get both sides to agree that he should be the Supreme Commander. But in any case, that's another story for another time. Eisenhower was indeed appointed as the Supreme Commander, and he had written two messages. And the first message was congratulating the success of the Normandy invasion. And in fact, that's the one that was published. But he wrote another one. And in that other one, he said that should the invasion fail, that the responsibility for that was his and his alone. We've talked on this broadcast several times about total responsibility and accountability. Eisenhower accepted that, realized that in the final analysis, it was his responsibility to make sure that the invasion was planned and manned sufficient unto the needs thereof for a successful lodgment on the Normandy beaches. And so it is a particularly significant anniversary for Coast Guard people, because the rescue flotilla that was assembled using wooden 83-foot-long rescue boats with gasoline engines and big Sterling Viking gasoline engines and burning high-octane gasoline. The Rescue Flotilla 1, was assembled to rescue people that when their landing craft, which also many of them were coxswained by Coast Guard coxswains, and with the landing craft were hit by shore batteries and the soldiers that were in them and the Coast Guard and Navy crews that were manning them were in the water, the rescue flotilla was responsible for picking them up, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people scooped up out of the water by Coast Guard Rescue Flotilla 1. Some of those boats went on to serve in the Coast Guard for many years after. We sure got our money's worth out of them. The other thing about D-Day is one of the most famous photographs of the D-Day invasion is the one which was taken from the coxswain's flat all the way aft in the landing craft with the ramp down, and the photograph is shot right through the ramp right up onto the beach. And that photograph, as well as many others of the D-Day invasion, were all captured by a Coast Guard combat photographer. And so the landings were successful. The story of many of the aspects of that are fairly well known. The part about the Coast Guard Rescue Flotilla is not so well known. And what is even less known, I think, today is that there is an American cemetery just south of Cambridge. And when Mary and I were living in Cambridge, we lived there for 3 years, of course. And whenever we would have visitors come from the States, we would take them to the military cemetery. If it was not on their list of things that they wanted to see or do, Stonehenge, Canterbury Cathedral, Salisbury Cathedral, which is my favorite cathedral of all of them in England, And whatever they had on their list, a trip to London, whatever they had on their list, whether the cemetery was on that list or not, it became on their list because that was the one place that we always insisted that we go. All along the side, the marble sides, are the names of people that are interred in the cemetery. There are, of course, some graves which, for whom we do not know who is in that particular address. And some of those, and that particular cemetery was established to be the final place for those who were picked up out of the water and who did not make it to the beach. Many of the combat casualties on the ground are buried in military cemeteries back of the landing beaches at Arromanche and Avranches. If you are able to do it, I recommend that you go to the Normandy beaches and Omaha, Utah, And then go to the British beaches, go to the British and Canadian beaches, Juneau and Sword, and take a day to go to the villages that are back behind those beaches and go to those military cemeteries. But the ones who were picked up out of the water, lifeless, most of them are buried in the American cemetery in Cambridge. So I, every year, recognize the 6th of June, D-Day. It was the beginning of the end of the Nazi regime in Europe. And I also, every year, recognize the responsibility and accountability that the Supreme Allied Commander, General Eisenhower, accepted unto himself should the invasion have failed. I started my day today out on my deck, and I was up in the captain's chair, and there is indeed a real captain's chair. I've moved out from inside the house. Sailor and I have moved out to the deck, and Mount Rainier was and is in all of her glory today, and there is a ship at anchor in the federal anchorage just off of captain's quarters. And Sailor and I were enjoying the being outside in the sunlight in what I call the peaceable kingdom. The term peaceable kingdom comes from the Bible. And in Victorian times, there was a period of artistic endeavor in which a number of artists created paintings of what were called, the titles always were the Peaceable Kingdom. And they always had at least one, in each one of those paintings, there was at least one theme that was repeated, and that was the part from the Bible that says that the lion shall lie down with the lamb. And so each one of these paintings, regardless of who the author was, each one of these paintings shows somewhere in it a lion lying down with the lamb. Had to have been a relatively uneasy lying down, but anyway, and the title was always The Peaceable Kingdom. And I look at from the captain's chair with Sailor and look out over my own peaceable kingdom, the place that Mary R. and I created together. And I am once again struck by the fact that I am the most fortunate of men. So I'm going to stay there, and the ship that is at the anchorage is a really interesting one, and it is a container ship. Now, we've talked before about container ships being put onto that anchorage, and normally those ships that are there are bulk carriers with the superstructure all the way aft and all open holds forward for the carriage of bulk products like grain and cement, gravel, things like that. But this is a container ship, and she has a wonderful name, and I believe that this is from an Australian name, although she's under the Liberian flag, and she belongs to a French company. So her name is the ANL, Alpha November Lima, Warrambool, Warrambool, Warrambool. And she's under the Liberian flag, although she's had three other names. And she's also been under the German flag at one time. The interesting thing about her is that not only is she not going to Tacoma, but she's going to Seattle, and she is loaded down to her marks. That expression, loaded down to her marks, means that she is loaded down to the markings which are laid into the side of the ship, usually with weld bead, that tell you you cannot load the ship any more than that, otherwise you're in violation of international law, but also you're in violation of good common seamanlike practice, because that means the ship is overloaded and she may well founder if she gets out into a Pacific typhoon. She's also a relatively small ship. Marine traffic says that she is rated at 4,300 TEUs, you all will remember, but I will remind you, a TEU is a 20-foot equivalent unit. And in fact, it looks to me that she's also carrying some 20-foot containers. Most containers today are 40-foot containers, which means that you can a ship that's rated at 4,300 TEUs can actually carry over 2,000 of the 40-foot containers. So I doubt that she will be there very much longer and headed to Seattle. And she came from New Zealand. So one is led to wonder, what are in all of those containers that came from New Zealand? The lovely land of New Zealand, which has about 4 or 5 million people and 40 million sheep. Those are not refrigerated containers, so she's not carrying anything refrigerated. And if she's there by next week, I will do a little bit of digging around and find out just what it is she's got in those containers. In the magazine for this week, before we get into that, heads up, everybody, incoming rounds. Hurricane season starts today. Years ago, all hurricanes were named for women. I leave it to the fertile imagination of all of Captain Joe's people to figure out why hurricanes should always be named for women. But somebody about 20 years ago said, that really isn't fair. We need to, because not all women are of hurricane velocity, and not all men are not of hurricane velocity, and therefore we need to go port and starboard on women's names and men's names, and so it is today. So I will be watching as the predictions may, if the predictions come through that this is going to be a tough hurricane season. I am always very careful around hurricanes. I almost got washed overboard in one of my ships. And they are exciting, not as exciting as a full-blown Pacific typhoon from which there is no escape. Those are other stories for other times. So anyway, hurricane season starts today, and I will keep up with that on your behalf. I've only got a few minutes left, and I want to read a poem that came to me from one of my academy classmates, my academy classmate who keeps track of what's happening in the class, and also from the Coast Guard Channel, John, J-O-N, John, sent this to all of us, and I'm going to read it because it connects us with Memorial Day, but it also connects us with sailors and the way that they look at crossing the bar. And the title of this poem is called In Waters Deep. In ocean wastes, no poppies blow, no crosses stand in ordered row. There young hearts sleep beneath the wave, the spirited, the good, the brave. But stars a constant vigil keep for them who lie beneath the deep. 'Tis true, you cannot kneel in prayer on certain spot and think, he's there, or she's there. But you can to the ocean go, see white caps marching row on row. No one for him will always ride in and out with every tide. And when your span of life is past, he'll meet you at the captain's mast. And I will explain the term captain's mast in maybe in a future broadcast. Take my word on this one. It's not something that most sailors want to attend. And they who mourn on distant shore for sailors who come home no more can dry their tears and pray for these who rest beneath the heaving seas, for stars that shine and winds that blow and white caps standing row on row. And they can never lonely be, for when they lived, they chose the sea. So that's my ending remark. And as is my custom, I always end this program with my hope, my wish, my desire, and my command that all of you for whom you have some responsibility and accountability watch, protect, and guard their six, and know that your captain is doing the best that can be done to take care of those for him whom he is responsible and accountable. And with that, I am up in the captain's chair, sending you my love, best wishes, and we will meet here again, for we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And this is your Captain Joe, up in the captain's chair, on station, and watching properly.
Voice of Vashon thanks Dental Care of Vashon for its programming support.